try to stand. And this is different. I'm getting a little more used to it, but you'll never get used to preaching. But I'm getting a little more used to being outside. But I need your prayers this morning all the same. I want to try to take a reading lesson out of the book of Acts in the chapter 4. Probably on something that's been preached on many times. I may have preached on it before. I don't know. I can't remember. But I tell you one thing, it don't make no difference. It's what God laid upon my heart. And we need to follow the Lord. And try to do the things. Today, it's always been important that we follow God. But today is as important as I've ever seen a time for us to be in touch with God and trying to stay close and get guidance. But it says, and as they speak, beginning in the first verse of the fourth chapter, and as they speak, the people and the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came unto them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now evening tide. And howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and the elders and the scribes and Ananias the high priest and Sapphias and John and Alexander and as many as were in the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" And then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers and people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means is he made whole? Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye have crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by whom doeth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of the builders, which is become the head and the corner. Neither is there any salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, and they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves and saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a noble miracle have been done by them and manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all and teach in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." And that with the many mistakes we made reading, that's reading down to the 20th verse of the fourth chapter of the book of Acts. And our thought was today that they had been with Jesus. And our brother Marty preached the message this morning. I didn't get to hear it all about how you're spending your time. And I heard the last part of it, and I thought, boy, I need to hear that. And that was a whole lot was what was on my heart. I made mention last week in my sermon, as I've got older, I found out that time is worth more than money. And you're young today, and you may not understand that, but someday you will. The older you get, you'll figure out that time is a lot more valuable than money. But they had made a point here that they said that they were ignorant men, unlearned. They didn't teach exactly about the Moses' law, and they did. But listen to me. They was teaching that salvation was grace by God through Jesus Christ, and not of works, but by grace you're saved. Amen. And that's what they was teaching, and they didn't agree with that. They thought you had to keep the law, you had to be circumcised, and you had to do certain things, make offerings and all these things. They still believe that, so they thought they was unlearned and ignorant because they wasn't teaching it that way. A lot of people today think we're unlearned and ignorant because we teach that you can simply put your trust in the Lord and repent and be saved. And not by any kind of works, but by simply praying unto God and being saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. A lot of people think we're unlearned and ignorant because of that. But listen to me. They took notice that they had spent some time with Jesus. And I wonder how much time today are we spending with Jesus. And that's where my thought is. If I was around people, Paul told Timothy, the widow should have a good name of those that are without. When we're around everyday people, not when we're around our brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, you're going to act a little different when you're around them if you ain't careful. When boys and girls first start dating, I want you to realize they ain't got no issues. They ain't got no problems. You know why? Because they fake. They act like they're perfect. They don't ever do nothing around each other that might turn the other one off or turn them away from one another. But sooner or later, it'll come a year or two down the road. It might be 5 years. But the true person, you can't act all your life. Amen. You can't act like a Christian. You either got to be one or you're not, but you can't act. You can't play a game. I want you to realize it's the same way with a marriage. Sooner or later, you'll start acting like what you really are, and they'll see what you really are. And that's why most marriages don't last past 5 years, because they find out what each other is. But listen to me. If you'll be yourself, young people, be yourself from the get-go. Don't ever play like you're something that you're not. And they'll never be surprised about what you are later on. And same way with being a Christian. If you'll live your life like a Christian, if I'd live my life the same way as I would in front of Barry Brunner, as I would Joel down the road yonder that don't hardly know me, listen to me. He'll see something different. He'll see something. He'll say, that man has spent some time with Jesus. We need to spend some time with Jesus. We need to spend some time talking to Him. We need to spend some time being guided by Him and led by Him. We're going to do a lot out of the book of Acts today. In the 11th chapter, we've used this before, and so have many others. It says, then the tidings of these things came unto the ears of... Thank you, Brother Bill. Then the tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was at Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. And who, when he came and he had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that was with purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was of good man and full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and as much as the people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto the Antioch. And it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves together with the church and taught much people. And the disciples first were called Christians first at Antioch. Now listen to me. They were first called Christians. Christians at Antioch. Why did they call them Christians at Antioch? Because they begin to believe in Christ. That's part of it, yes. But I want you to know they spent time with Christ. They spent quality time with Christ. They spent time worshiping. They spent time praying. They spent time calling upon Him. And then they begin to have the example of Christ. Their lives begin to be like Christ. They begin to act like and speak like Christ did. They say, Christ, no man ever spake like this man. They begin to speak that way. They begin to act that way. Peter and him, there was a man there that was sick, and they wanted to know how this happened. They said, true, there's been a noble miracle happening here. We can't deny it. Listen to me. People cannot deny the Holy Spirit of God when it gets involved. They cannot deny Jesus Christ when it gets involved. So they begin to call them Christians. What they call us Christians here at Hilltop. When people that seen us, I believe they was called Christians at Hilltop not by themselves. I ain't gonna come up here and tell you what a Christian I am. That's self-righteousness, and there ain't nothing good about it. I want you to know, if you say a Christian to me, I want you to be able to say it. But I believe they was called Christians from those who are allowed, because they'd seen something about them. They saw that they was acting just like that man that was being preached Jesus. They saw they'd spent some time with Jesus. How are you spending your time these days? We have got an opportunity now to get closer to the Lord than maybe we've ever had. We practice social distancing. If we do that good, I'm going to tell you, you're only going to be around your immediate family members. So you're not going to be at parties. You're not going to be here and yonder at social events. You're going to be with your family. But I want you to know, in that we have time now, more time than ever, to talk to Jesus. Amen. And spend time with Jesus. And I want you to know, we can come out of this. I've said it the whole time. We'll either come out of this a beacon strong light that's set on a hill that shines to a lost and dying world, or we'll come out looking just like the world. Amen. What are you going to come out looking like? We need to spend time with Jesus. Those high priests and Sadducees was not believers in Christ. I want you to know they was trying to stop it. They was threatening them. They was doing all they could to stop it. I want you to realize there's a lot of people out there that's not believers in Jesus Christ that would love to see us stop. But our job is not to hate them. Our job is to love them and try our best to let them see Jesus in us. A lot of people, the only opportunity they'll ever have to see Jesus is in you. In you. In you. And in me. When that time comes, when you're delivered before the council, He said He'd give you the words to speak. I've heard preachers say, well, that means when you show up to preach, that ain't what that's talking about. I'm saying it's when it gets hard, when times get rough, when they deliver you up into a council, when your day like Paul and John came, like Jesus came, that He'll be there with you. Amen. He'll not leave you nor forsake you. He'll give you words to speak then, the words that'll be Christ-like, that they would say, this man has spent time with Jesus. That's got to be my goal now. I want the person at Walmart that I've never seen before. When I walk in yonder, when I talk to them for a few minutes, they say, that man there surely spent some time with Jesus. Surely he spent more than just a moment of being saved, being born again, and that would be worth it all. But surely this man has took up his attributes. He has took up his actions. He has took up his ways. Surely this man has spent time with Jesus. Oh, if we could get that and understand it, we could change the world. through Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, he fell down and he got saved. He saw a great light, and I believe that great light was Jesus Christ. He said that an apostle had to be one that spent time with Christ and one called. He said, I was one called out of due season. It was someone that had to see Christ. And I believe he saw him there on the road of Damascus. I believe that great light. I used to think he was in darkness when they led him to Ananias. But he wasn't in darkness, but he was in light so that he couldn't even see. It was a light. You cannot look on the face of God in His glory. It was a light that he couldn't describe. So it blinded the man. And he went to Ananias. And Ananias baptized him. And he became a member of the church of Damascus. After that, we'll get to it in a minute. We'll talk about a little bit where Paul spent some time with Jesus. He spent 3 years, I believe, with Jesus. I believe the apostles, after Jesus began his ministry and was baptized, went up on a mountain, called unto whom who he would, set up his church, and then made them apostles. I want you to know for about 3.5 years there, they spent time being taught by Jesus. Still today, it would be good for us. But here's Saul. He has come to Jerusalem now. Now, let's just go back. Let's go read Galatians first. I want you to understand about that. Paul's writing unto the Galatians, and he said, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him up from the dead. We're not mama called and daddy sent. We can't go to college and learn how to be a preacher. You either have been called by the grace of God or you not. But listen to me. You that are members or you that are just been saved by the grace of God, never a member of the Lord's church, you have also been called. Paul was called not only on the road to Damascus to be a child of God, but he was also called a minister. But you may just be called to be a child of God and serve Him. You still need to spend time with Jesus and be taught of Him.
Amen.
In the 15th verse, it says, "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." In other words, he didn't go tell everybody about it immediately. And I ain't saying there's nothing wrong with that today. That ain't what it's about. He didn't go get taught of a man. I want you to realize it's nothing wrong, and we need to teach. We need to learn each other. But you need to spend time with Jesus Christ. And let Him give you your burdens. Let Him confirm things to you and preach it because God said it's right, not because Brother Jeff says it's right. Brother Jeff can be wrong, but Jesus Christ has never been wrong and never will be. He said, I fear not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem. To them which, now listen, that's important. He didn't go up to Jerusalem right off the bat. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. And then 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Now listen, whether he was at Arabia for 3 years or Damascus, I don't know. But listen to me, he was somewhere for 3 years being taught by who? Spending time with Jesus.
I've been ready to be an apostle. He had to be taught. He had to spend time with the one, the master. I had to learn and know how to handle himself. Because like a lot of us, people wasn't going to have no confidence in him. It wasn't going to do him no good to act. They was going to be able to read through it, and he knew he was. He had to be one. He had to be the real deal. And the only way he could be that was take up all the things of Jesus Christ. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by the face of the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But listen, he was unknown. But listen, but they had heard only that which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which was once destroyed. He destroyed. And they glorified God in me. They heard about him. How did they hear? Because there was people saying, this man has spent some time with Jesus. This man has been changed. The one who once destroyed the church, going to Damascus to destroy them then, had letters to arrest them, to take them in, maybe kill them. The same man was born again. The same man had been baptized and united with the church in Damascus. The same man that everybody feared began to astonish, to love and realize that he had spent time with Jesus. He wasn't a so-called Christian. He was the real deal. That's what I want to be. I want to be the real deal. I want to be the same around my family as I would Bubba. I want to be the same around my neighbors there that don't go to church and maybe know anything about Christ as I would Sister Connie. Amen. I don't want to be just called a Christian. I want to be a Christian. Amen. So they first called them Christians at Antioch because they knew they'd spent some time with them. Steve, brother, you're like me. You'll never be a perfect Christian. Not here. We will someday. Someday we'll have a body just like his, glorified. And sometime a day we'll be there where there'll be no sin no more. But I tell you one thing you can do. Uphold Jesus Christ. Uphold Hilltop Church. Live your life not like a Christian, but being a Christian. I want you to know, be one. Don't fake like you would when you're dating your boyfriend or girlfriend and act like you're something you're not. I was an old man, Brother Tommy's stepdad. I loved him to death. He was a good old man. He was my best buddy growing up. His wife had passed away. Y'all heard me talk about that. Then he started dating Jeannie after that. But after she passed away, he began to court, or try to court a little bit. He'd go up there at the country music barn. And he'd go up yonder and he'd dance with the little old widow women and stuff like that. And I'd go with him. And every now and then, I'd get hungry. I'd go up to him and I'd ask Lois. You'd have to know Lois Clyburn. I loved him to death, but he was tight now. He was old school. But I'd go up to him and I'd say, Lois, can you give me $1 to get me a hamburger and a Coke? He'd say, here's your $5, get whatever you want. Right in front of them women, you know. We'd start home at night. He'd say, do you have any change left out of that $5? Amen. Huh? There you go. Right in the women, he didn't worry about the change in. He was trying to let them see that he's going to take care of them. But listen, When we got in the car, it was just me and him. He wanted his change back. I want you to know, I acted like a Christian won't get it done. He won't win nobody. When you live your life every day like a Christian, they'll begin to notice that. They'll begin to say, this person has spent some time with Jesus. So Apostle Paul spent 3 years in Arabia, or Damascus. Let me go back and get that right. Or Damascus. One of the two. And then, three years before he went up to Jerusalem. And now, we got Apostle Paul. It's all in his 9th chapter, and so that just tells you, Brother Aaron has taught us, you can't get caught up in how time works. In this same chapter where he got saved, he got baptized, and then now he's at Jerusalem. But it's been 3 years has passed. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem to stay, to join himself to the disciples. A disciple, listen, is a learner. It's a pupil of Christ. That's what a disciple is, the definition. If you're a disciple of Christ, you should be a pupil of His. You should be a learner of His. And he come to join himself to the other disciples that was at Jerusalem. He become to be a part of them, a part of that body. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. They didn't think he was a pupil. They didn't think he was a learner. They didn't think he was somebody that spent some time with Christ. All they'd heard about this man was his past and the things he'd done. So people said, not Saul. That's what they were saying. You think we're going to take you in here among us? You that's went out and killed us? You that's went out and arrested us? All we've ever heard about you is bad. And you think you're going to come up here now and show up and we're just going to take you in? But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly in Damascus in the name of Jesus. Listen to me. Barnabas had seen something in him. He didn't believe he was faking. He believed he was the real deal. And he was saying, listen to me. This man, I want to recommend him to you to be a part of you here at Jerusalem. I believe he's the real deal. He's not what he used to be. He is preaching Jesus. He is living Jesus. He has spent 3 years either at Damascus or Arabia with Jesus. Amen. Being a pupil. And he was with them coming in and going out. Amen. Listen, he was a part of them. Brother Barry taught us about going in one way and coming out a different way. He went in with them and he come out with them. And honey, when he went in with them the first time, he come out a different way because they saw he was one of them. He never went out from them because he wasn't one of them. He went in with them because he was one of them. Amen. Blow your horn for a minute. Are you awake out there? Blow your horn. Do you want to act like a Christian or do you want to be one? So why are you social distancing? Why are you having to be away from everybody else? Spend time with Jesus. Walk off down behind the house. Get in the holler and pray a while. Go to a pond and fish a while. I'll catch a fish or two that you can eat. And spend some time the one that made you a fisherman of men. When you rise up in the morning, thank Him for letting you be a child of God. When you lay down at night, thank Him for being a child of God. I was going to send a text out all week, but I couldn't decide if it was of me or of God. But all those texts I send out lately seem to be negative. People sick, people dying. I wanted to send one out and just say, what are you thankful for? But I thought about Brother Barry Stahl on the Thanksgiving service. Yeah. We're not able to do that now, but we can still be thankful. Amen. We can still let each other know we're thankful. We do it in a text. We can do it that way. But listen to me. I know we're all thankful to be saved by God's grace, and that's the most important. But what else are you thankful for today? I had 3 grandbabies this week. They're in the middle of our nation hating each other. They hate each other. It ain't they don't like each other. They hate each other. Republicans hate Democrats. Blacks hate whites. Non-Christians hate Christians. I want you to know there's so much hate. There's plenty to go around in America. But they made a sign on their own. Out of cardboard. They put an American flag on it. And they on their own went and stood beside the road. And said, honk if you love America. I was so proud of them. In the middle of a time when people just hate America, burning our flag. Hate all that what we stand for here. My grandbabies had seen enough. Thank you, God. They had heard enough to know we're still in the land of the free. I'm thankful for that today. I pray they see their pa and spend some time with Jesus. Love one another. Love this nation that God flew like an eagle across the water and gave us. Love the old church. Love Jesus. Amen. And spend some time with Him. I preached on a message here a while back out here in the parking lot for the love of Christ. How Peter had a love for Him that he wanted to walk to Him. How he had a love for Him when he didn't have time to wait for the boat to get to the shore. He swam to Him. Let us have a love for Christ that we want to spend time with Him, that we want to be around Him, that people would say they spent some time with Jesus. That is my message today. Have you spent some time with Jesus? I know you. I love you. I love you. Let our light shine. Let her shine.